Kids, come on down here and join me and my lovely assistant. Come on down. Come on, gal. Yeah, oh, not you, Gary, this week. I'm sorry. That confused you, that lovely assistant. Come on closer. My lovely assistant today is Miss Maya Strickland.
Hi. Okay. What? Oh, yeah, say hi to me. Thank you. Okay. I'm teaching you guys in the back anyway, so this is like double lesson. Yay. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, well, that's awesome. Okay, what I'm going to ask you guys, and you guys can all, well, if you want to, answer. What is the most beautiful thing? What do you think is the most beautiful thing ever?
God.
God? Okay. What? Flowers. Those are really pretty. What's something when you look at it, it's just so beautiful? Like, you think there cannot be anything else more beautiful. What do you think? God? Yeah? An angel? What? You raised your hand. Nothing? Okay. What do you think? Your mom?
Kalichi. That was Kalichi.
That is so sweet.
I mean, Chudamon. That was Chudamon. I'm sorry. Chudamon said that.
Huh? That's so sweet. Does anyone else have anything? Okay. Well, what do you think God would say if we asked him? You, and you, and you, and all of you, yeah. Yeah. Okay, this is a verse from 1 Samuel 16, it's verse 7. Part of it. It says, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So when God sees you, he sees your heart, and that's, like, super beautiful. And so that's good to know. And this verse, Proverbs 3:15, says, "She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." And that's sort of how God sees us. He sees us as more precious than rubies, more beautiful than a sunset, more beautiful than flowers, more beautiful than any of the most beautiful things we can see. That's God sees us like that. Isn't that good to know? I think so. You're upside down. Yep. Well, that's all I got.
Okay. All right. So know this, guys. God sees you as beautiful, and you're awesome. And remember that when someone else comes up to you and says something that is ugly or mean, to remember the truth is God sees you as being awesome and beautiful, and he loves you unconditionally, just like that song we sang. Okay? All right. Now you can go with Miss Maya and Miss Courtney. You're dismissed. Did you say you need to hear that, David? Well, I have my good mornings to everybody. It's good to see you this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to hit it hard and heavy because we got a few things to do this morning. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for each one of those precious young children. And Lord, I thank you for each one of these precious children that I'm looking at face to face. And Lord, the truth is we do need to absorb every ounce of your truth. Because, Lord, the battle has been on this week. Lord, the world, the flesh, and the devil has been looking to kill, steal, and destroy. And, Father, there may have been times where we felt like we were being overwhelmed. But, God, I pray today that we'd understand that you're overwhelming the evil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us now in these few brief moments. In Yeshua's name we pray all this, Father. Amen. John, go ahead and put the scripture up. Today's title of the message is Always on Mission. At the end of the service, we're going to send out our Nigerian team as they leave Wednesday afternoon for Nigeria. So we're going to be praying them out in just a few moments. And this morning, though, I think that we need to be reminded of some things, some very simple, some very basic things. And that is, no matter where we go, no matter where we are, we're on mission for God. That we have that privilege and that calling. And that does not be something that is left up to us to determine, meaning that God has sent us. And we're going to look at this scripture today from Jesus when he sent out his disciples, one of the two times in Luke that's recorded that he sends out his disciples. This story is involving the 12 apostles, where the other one is involving the 70 or the 72 disciples. But today we look at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and it's this. One day Jesus called together his 12 apostles, and he gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the coming of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He says to them, don't even take along a walking stick, he instructed them, nor a traveler's bag, nor food, nor money, not even an extra coat. When you enter each village, be a guest in only one home. If the people of the village won't receive your message when you enter, shake off its dust from your feet as you leave. It's a sign that you have abandoned that village to its fate. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Jesus sent them all 12 out. Every one of them got to go. Jesus didn't pick one and say, you're more qualified than the other, or you're less qualified, you need to stay back. He simply said, all of you have to go. And that's my first point, John. Each disciple of Christ is sent, but are you answering the call? Are you honestly making yourself available for God to be able to use you where you are when you're there? Are you really allowing yourself to be used to be the hands and feet of God? Most of you have heard that for years and years. Some of you, decades. I'm not going to call any names. But some of you, you've heard that a long time. But I would ask you to be honest with yourself this morning and say, are you making yourself available? Because I want you to understand that in the kingdom of God, there is no high calling or low calling or great calling or medium calling. It's Jesus doing the sending because God's called us all. So don't allow yourself to fall into the lie of saying, I've got to wait for God to call me to something great. God's greatness is in you, so therefore you are called to greatness. So each disciple of Christ is sent, but are you answering the call? I just read a story about a lady that was sitting next to a young Marine on a plane, and they got in a conversation. And one of the things she asked the young Marine, because he was headed home after serving in one of the wars, and she said, didn't you, while you were on the battlefield, didn't you long to go home and see your family? He said, no, ma'am, I didn't. He said, because I have been trained to be available where I am and to not think of that which may not come. Can you pause? Can you stick with me on that? Basically, he's saying, where I am is where I'm going to be used because that's where the battle is. I can't allow myself to be distracted to something else. I'm not even sure that I'll make it back. But are you answering the call? Because all of you and I, the greater we here, Jesus has sent out. So you don't have to ask yourself, is God calling me? That's been a resounding yes since the day you said yes to Jesus. You don't have to ponder that any longer. That answer is yes. The question is, are you making yourself available? Point number two. We have all we need for the mission. What I mean by that is this. Jesus sent out His disciples. He told them, don't take the material things. You're taking the very kingdom of God. The Spirit of God is going to be up on you. And where you go, that it's going to be some tough places. Some people aren't going to like you. Some people aren't going to want you. You're going to run into evil face to face. It's going to be tough at times. But you have all you need for the mission. And I want to blow up some lies. You have the time. You have the resources. You have the talents. You have the gifts. But are you understanding that you have those and that it's just a matter of you choosing to make them available for the use of the kingdom of God? Because you have all that you need. But I know that today most of us struggle with, but I can't because of. Why don't you just destroy that lie today? Why don't you make a determination in your mind that you're no longer going to live under the excuses of, I can't because. Because when God's doing the sending and He's doing the calling and you're doing this, the making yourself available, great things can happen. One of my favorite quotes that I read a long time ago, John Wesley said, you give me 100 men that are on fire for God, I can change the world. 100. I believe it started with 1, it went to 12, it went to 70, and then just multiplied on out. And now we're in the millions. So if we have millions of us around this world, man, shouldn't the world be a little different than we live in? We have all we need for the mission. You got to know Him to hear Him. You got to hear Him to experience Him. You got to experience Him to stay on task. And that's part of our problem, I think, that we struggle with. We have all we need for the mission, but we get a little distracted in our ADD world. We get a little caught up in the lesser instead of the godly. And that's a struggle. But we got to be honest with ourselves and say, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that anymore. And acknowledge, yes, God has given me all I need for the mission. You have it. It's time to use it. Point number three. The mission requires all of us. Yes, all of us are needed. And I know that some days that probably if you were picking your own team of Christians to go out into the mission field, that there would be some days maybe you wouldn't even pick yourself. Because there's days I wouldn't pick me, honestly. Okay? But, God has said, I'm beautiful, that I have what it takes, but I have to understand that I need all of you. All of you. I need you and you need me. I need my brothers and sisters that are across the world. Right now, we know that waiting in Nigeria this morning or this afternoon over there, there's a group of people that are looking forward to seeing family, and I'm only going to stop at family because family is going over there, and I'm not just talking about the Okeris. Okay, family is going over there to see family in Nigeria, and they're looking forward because they know they need one another. Okay, they need one another. So all of us are required. Think how much greater each of us could do things in the kingdom of God if all of us were rowing in the same direction. If all of us were really fully employed, that's a term that we use around here. The mission requires every one of us. And that's important to be able to stay on task. Because God is sending His best. And David, you were honest a while ago after you heard the little kids thing. That, truthfully, some of us struggle every single day with believing that we're the best God has to offer. Well, as long as He's left you here, He considers you worthy to be sent. And so He is sending His best, and that's you, and that's me, and that's we. And that's a truth. And that's the truth. And part of being sent is right here. How is your attitude when you show up on Sunday morning? Good? Daniel's is good. Probably hungry too, but he hasn't said that yet. Okay? You didn't even call me peanut head today, Daniel. What's going on, brother? The mission requires all of us, but not just when we feel like it. Not just when we feel like it. How often have you contacted somebody through some mode of social media and they responded with, I needed that just then. I am so thankful you followed through on that tug on your heart. Well, how powerful can that be if you respond every time out of obedience just like that? The mission requires all of us. If we have Jesus Christ inside of us and we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we do, then we have what it takes, but we need to make ourselves available, understand that we all have a need for the mission, and that we are all needed in the mission. All of us are important. Number four, the mission is ongoing. While you're on one mission, God's already preparing you for the next. That mission might be this afternoon when you walk out those doors. Wherever you go, next. That might be your mission, but while you're there, God is growing you for the next thing. And the next thing might be this evening. The next thing might be an overseas mission trip. The next thing might be you getting a phone call that the news isn't that good. But God is preparing you. He is growing you as you are in the present for the next thing. But most of us kind of decide that we'd rather repeat lessons in the kingdom of God instead of learning the lesson the first time through and going on to the next lesson. And understanding, you've experienced obedience in your life. I know all of you have. What joy does it bring you when you've hit the mark and you've been obedient? What peace, what fruit of the Spirit it brings you when you understand that I am displaying the fruit of the Spirit and God's kingdom is being glorified and people are calling you bad names. That can be awesome. That can be awesome. What a feeling it is to walk away from a situation when you've been obedient on a mission that God's given you and no one else even knows about it. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. That you've seen God redeem time. Do you know God can redeem time? God can redeem anything because He created it all. And what I mean by that is just when you don't think you have enough time, you don't have enough strength, you don't have enough energy, watch what God can do. Watch what He can do when you've decided that you're going to live for the kingdom of God. Watch what He can do. You have all the time you need. You have all the resources that you need. If you want to speak loudly to a culture that is lost and going to hell, then you live on the kingdom's economy. Live according to allowing God to allow His economy be the one that sets the benchmark for you. Allow Him to redeem the things that you're willing to offer to Him. It's amazing. But the mission is ongoing. Sometimes it's tough in the growth, though, isn't it? I mean, honestly, sometimes we're growing and we're kind of like, I don't really know that I really want to grow today, God. Oh, come on. Let's be honest. It isn't always easy. It can't be easy because it's a battle. We live in a fallen world. You know, I'll never understand that. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because the Bible reminds us that we live in a fallen world, that we have an adversary, and He doesn't take a day off. Because He's never going to take a day off because He knows there's an appointed time for His eternal judgment and it's not going to be pretty for Him. Okay? So of course He's going to battle against you and against I. Of course the world is going to try to kill, steal, and destroy. But the mission is ongoing. Remember, while you're here today, God is speaking to you. He is showing you something. He's revealing something. And it's probably for the now and the next. All in the same thing. But remember what I told you earlier? You got to know Him so you can hear Him, so you can be close, so you can stay on task. And sometimes, man, you got to dig in and fight with everything you've got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. And when you're tired, call somebody. And when you're weary, admit it. And when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, be honest. And when you're joyful, share it. When you're on top of the world, share it. Let God allow you to share your joys and your burdens with others as you're on that mission. And number five, by the way, that's the last point. Life change occurs during and after the mission. During and after the mission. Dixie felt led to go buy the purchase the products to or the materials to make 100 salvation bracelets. And this morning she did about 25. This morning she bought the rest of them, and the kids and stuff finished making the other 75. So we got about 100 of these that are going to be going to Nigeria. And she made a good point, perfect point for right here. Life change occurs during and after. She said, when they're gone and you guys are back, these will still be there preaching the good news. Now, most of you have probably worn these here in the United States. And how many times has someone asked you, what does that bracelet stand for? What does it mean? Why do you wear it? Whatever question you got. Life change occurs during and after the mission. So just because you don't see a difference when you're saying, yes, Lord, doesn't mean God's not doing great things. Another lie you have to blow up is if you don't see something great being done in front of your very eyes, that God didn't use you. That's hogwash. I'm not allowed to say stronger words because it goes out on the internet. Okay? All right? Jay, you were thinking it though, weren't you? Probably. Life change occurs during and after the mission. You ever heard the story of the 40 Roman soldiers that froze to death on the ice for their salvation because of their faith in Jesus Christ? True story. During one of those crazy emperors, he decided that he put out an edict that said, everybody's got to worship me. Well, there happened to be 40 Roman soldiers that were Christians. And they decided in the middle of the winter that they were not going to worship the Roman emperor. And so the captain of that army said, well, if you won't worship him, then we're going to see where your loyalty really lies. So they sent him out into the middle of a frozen lake to stand with no clothes on in the middle of winter. And just to add a little bit something to it, the Roman captain said, around the lake, I want you to build really warm fires. So while they stand out there naked, that the warm fires we can all stay warm by. Throughout the night, they stood and they slowly froze to death. One of them decided that he would rather deny his faith in Christ, and he crawled back to land. There was one other soldier that had stood on the side and was so impressed with the other 39 that he took off everything he had and he went and stood with them. At morning, they carried off 40 dead Roman, Christian, God-following soldiers. Life change occurs during and after the mission. Sometimes we have to just remind ourselves that somebody has paid a great cost for us to be a part of the mission, and that it is not up to us to determine the outcome from where we see it, but allow God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Being faithful with what He's placed in our hands. Back to, we have all we need for the mission. Are you using your gifts, your talents, and your resources? Are you being available? Are you saying, yes, Lord? You understand the mission's always going on around you. You don't have to wait till Wednesday to go with Kennedy and their group to Nigeria. It's happening right now, right here in front of us, every moment of every day. And the mission is ongoing. And life change really can occur when we make ourselves available to the kingdom of God for His purposes. You've been sent. You don't have to ask. God, can you use me? Of course He can. He created you. Is He using you? I don't know. You and God need to sit down and have maybe a powwow about that. I can't answer that for you. I really can't. But if you do, be honest with yourself today. Don't allow the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil to creep in and say, you don't have anything to offer, because that's garbage. You have all you need. And just like the disciples, you can choose at the end of that scripture. John, put that scripture back up one more time for me, okay? So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Your story is that story, and it's powerful, and it's life-changing. So I encourage you this morning to just go before God and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. How can I be used by you every moment of every day? Make yourself available. Let's pray. You know, God, I want to just pause for a moment and say thank you that the times that I do argue with you about saying no, Lord, that you're gentle and you're kind and you're loving and you're forgiving. And that, Father, you're so willing to be patient. So willing. Father, I pray today for your unmistakable voice to be heard above the roar of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Father, you are so worthy of praise. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Kennedy, why don't you guys come on down? The Nigerian team, come on down. Everybody that's going to Nigeria. Hey, Kennedy, I got a question for you. Is there anybody on the team you're not bringing back this year? No? Yeah. Hey. Gary, you sure you want us to take a vote? You going to get Maya? All right. Is anybody else in the back that y'all know of that's going to Nigeria that we need to get? Get a little closer here. Okay. Let's see. We got Maya coming, Gary. Just keep it for a moment. Kennedy, do you want to? I'm going to let you say a few words about it and give us some.
First of all, I want to say thank you so much for your support and for your prayers during this time of preparation. It has been a very hectic month for us and putting things together. It's a lot of logistics, talking about flights, accommodation, feeding, and whatever. It's a lot. But I also want to thank all the team members that are going. It's a lot of sacrifice and a whole lot of changes for most of us. Some have not traveled out. Some have traveled, but not way down to Africa. Some do not understand what it takes to get the visa, but we all got through it. But that's one of those things that we learn as we travel. We've been battered also with a lot of disappointment, and what I say, disappointment and encouragement as well. Dusty, who is supposed to go with us, will not be able to make it because his mom is sick. So it's like the man of God is not going, so the children of God need to step up. And say, everyone that is going with me, you're going to step up. If you're thinking of performing at level 5, you're going to be thinking about performing at level 7 and 8. And that's just the reality of the whole game. And so that's what we're going to do there. I've been in touch with the government in Nigeria who are supposed to welcome us for this mission. They're excited. They're happy to have us. And they've been good in the past, and I'm sure they'll continue to be good. So I want to say thank you, pray for us, and as we go.
How many others will be going with you? I know there's more to the team than just right here before us this morning.
We have about 4 people joining us. We have 2 other physicians, and we have Jonathan, whom you already know. He'll be coming from Kentucky.
Kentucky, he's coming from Kentucky.
Oh, he's our man.
Can you count on him? Thanks. Yeah. We didn't I just pray I'm not going to listen to the voice of, you know, all right. Is Jonathan going to meet y'all in Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Okay,
yeah.
Atlanta.
We're all meeting Atlanta.
Jacksonville.
And the others come from Jacksonville?
Jacksonville and New York. So we have somebody coming from New York and another doctor coming from Jacksonville. We're all going to meet in Atlanta and then take off from there.
What time do you leave Wednesday?
Wednesday, our flight is 5, but we'll be at the airport by 2.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So they leave Wednesday at 5, at the airport by 2, and they'll come back on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. They return on St. Patrick's Day. So, no. All right. I tell you what. You guys circle up for us here because we want us to come pray, but I want you guys to circle up so you can be a little tighter. Okay? All right. Now, if you'd like to, I tell you what, hey, I know this is in directions. Come back this way a little bit. Yeah. That was good, right? Hold, stop. That's pretty good. That's pretty good there. All right. Enough of me being silly. If you guys want to come down and lay hands on, we're going to anoint them and pray for them. You can walk around behind. We put Rick in the circle. We're getting ready to ask him to confess some sin. And,
we have to leave by Wednesday.
if you can't get close enough, yeah. If you can't get close enough, just you can come around. You guys can come up on up here. I'm just going to begin us in prayer. And as God puts a word on your heart or a blessing, just please, you can speak that out loud. So let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for each one of these individuals. Lord, I want to thank you for the people who have faithfully given of their resources for these and the others. Father, I thank you for the things that you have already been doing to just mold and mend their hearts just like yours, just like Jesus. And Lord, I know today that the desire of each one of this team's heart is to be used for the glory and honor of the kingdom of God. And Lord, that's going to be a lot of different avenues, a lot of different ways. And I just proclaim praise to you, praise, glory, and honor to you for that, Father. And so Lord, this time, speak to us so we can speak to them. Father God, I want to thank you specifically for the vision that you have given Dr. Kennedy O'Carey. Lord, I want to thank you for the people that will never know their names that were in Nigeria probably decades ago that said, Father, give somebody a vision to help the people. And I thank you for the obedience, Dr. O'Carey, today. Praise be to God. Now, Lord, as you send all of us out of this building, some to Nigeria, some to lunch, some to the wherever, God, I pray that we'd understand that, Father, what we do, it matters, and it echoes into eternity. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys will take a moment and give me your cards or give us your cards and envelopes, appreciate it.